Thank you for joining this worship service of St. Andrew Lutheran Church as recorded at 11 a.m. on Sunday, April 21, 2019, for the resurrection of our Lord. The Old Testament reading is Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 through 25. The New Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 19 through 26. The Gospel acclamation is Luke chapter 24. Verses 1 through 12. Presiding and preaching is Pastor Jen Collins. Assisting with worship is Pastor Gary Brandenburg.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Welcome to worship on this Easter morning at St. Andrew Lutheran Church. We hope that this morning you will hear a word of comfort or challenge. But especially as we focus our hearts on the resurrection, we pray that you will be wrapped in an experience of life. And I know for a fact that it's like seriously cooler in here now than it was 30 minutes ago, temperature-wise. I mean, you're all pretty cool too, but. So thank you for being here today and for worshiping. Just a couple of notes to share with you. Everything that you'll need for worship is in the bulletin. And you are welcome to communion, especially if you commune in your own church. I'd like to introduce you to Pastor Gary Brandenburg, who is our interim pastor. He's just finishing 6 whole months here as of pretty much now. So, and will be with us through the summer and is preaching today.
That's right.
Yeah. With that, we'll center our hearts and our minds with song from the choir.
Process.
Please stand.
We come together this day rejoicing in the knowledge of Christ's resurrection. Yet we acknowledge and confess we have failed to live as resurrected people. Therefore, we make confession and ask for forgiveness. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Oh God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. And by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated, and I'd invite the children forward for a message. I have something to share with you if you would like. Maybe some of the older children can help motivate some of the younger children. I see you out there. Yeah, come here. So anybody else want to come? I've got stuff for you. All right. So, there's a bug in our sanctuary. Do you see it? Now you're coming. Do you see the bug that is in our sanctuary? Not here, but somewhere else. You see it? Look up. Where is it? Look that way. And up. Look over by the choir. Look up from the choir. Do you see a bug? A butterfly! Way to go! You're covered in butterflies today. That's so cool. Does anybody else have butterflies on? Hey, I saw a couple butterflies today. Why is there a butterfly on the cross, do you think? Oh, you've got one right there. That's so cool. What do you think? It's the green thing. It's pretty artsy. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Butterflies.
Yeah, you have flowers, though. Those are pretty.
My sister's wearing butterflies.
She is, which is cool. Okay, Peter's going to share why we have a butterfly on the cross.
Jesus went from a cave after a midwinter area to paraphrase the song in the bleak midwinter. He went through a cave over 3 days and then rose again in New Year. The butterfly is a caterpillar who goes into a cocoon for the winter and comes out more beautiful.
Like a butterfly. High five. Got it. It's all about life. So if you've ever watched a butterfly go from a cocoon or a caterpillar to a cocoon to a butterfly, there's a special word called metamorphosis that has to do with the way that we change over time. Now, you're not going to turn into a butterfly. Hate to break the news to you. Not going to happen. But Jesus does give you life every single day. And it's really good news for us because we learned that life can get kind of tough sometimes. And so just like that butterfly breaks free from the cocoon, so God breaks us free as well. And we have life in him. And that's what Easter's all about. So I have stuff for you. I have a whole bunch of butterfly pictures. I would love for you to color one or two of them and take it with you so you can remember that Jesus gives you new life. Or you can leave it here. Do you want to help pass them out? Or you can leave them here, and we'll decorate our church with them over Easter, okay? And I have a whole bunch of crayons, so you can take your pick. You can pick one or two packs of them, and you can do stuff during church. See, it was worth coming up. Should we have a prayer? Let's pray and thank God. Okay, the Lord be with you. Gracious God, thank you for new life in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. All right. You can grab some crayons. You can grab a butterfly if you don't have it. You can head on back to your spot. Take one for a friend or a parent. All right. Okay. You want to take another one? There you go. All right.
A reading from Isaiah. I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime, For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. A reading from 1 Corinthians. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
According to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. They say to not judge a book by its cover, and that's really good wisdom. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes when I pick up a new book that's piquing my interest, a new book that I'm thinking about reading but I'm not quite sure if I want to, I will flip right to the last page and I will read the last sentence and I will judge that book by that last line. It's sort of cheating, I know. But there's part of me that wants to know if the read is going to be worth it, if it's going to turn out in a way that seems satisfying or interesting, if the story will be fulfilling from beginning to end. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone. Well, I want to read that book, right? It's classic. Right up there with, "And they lived happily ever after." It turns out okay. Gone with the Wind gives us, "After all, tomorrow is another day." But we might actually think of Rhett Butler walking off screen saying something else to Scarlett O'Hara. How a story ends can really stick with a person. Did everyone make it out alive? Did the story leave you hanging? Did it end too soon? Did it tie things up? Does it leave you feeling a sense of wonder or delight? Will there be another book in the series or another sequel to the movie, or should you stop before you even start? When we flipped the last line of the Easter Gospel before us today, it has a really strange ending. And it ends this way. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. That's it. So would you read that story? Peter goes home and he's amazed? Well, what's it about? Frankly, my dears, I don't know if I'd take the time to read that book. Broken-hearted women who are doing what strong women do make their way to the tomb as early as they can to observe that stone rolled away. Perplexed is the word. Perplexed and with the smell of spices in their nose, they cannot do what they wanted to do because there's nobody there, no body to anoint. And not only are they confused, I'm guessing they are on the edge of panic. Then the angels in dazzling white, then the terror, then the memory of Jesus' words echoing in their minds, and that question, why do you look for the living among the dead? Mary, Joanna, Mary, and the other women run to tell Jesus' followers and friends, and they are disbelieved. They are even mocked. Actually, the phrase idle tale softens the language. From the original Greek, punch would probably be the equivalent of today's vernacular mansplaining. So in true Peter form, he rushes in and verifies that what the women had said was in fact true, that their story had ended with legitimacy. And so he goes home and he's amazed. And the story stops for us this morning. It's a wonder that a story with such an anticlimactic ending has the power to bring us together with Christians from around the world today. We gather around this story alongside of choirs and trumpet fanfare and bright colors and the strong smell of lilies and hyacinths. We are here today because it's Easter, and so we're here in our Sunday best or our everyday ordinary blue jeans and with our families or by ourselves to celebrate God and to celebrate life because we know how the story ends. The story doesn't end at the tomb, nor does it end at Peter's home. And thanks be to God, the story of the good news for those of us still in the middle of our lives, still in that middle part of the book, has not ended. Resurrection for Christ and for you and for all of us is by definition a story that has no end. Has it ever happened to you that you had a plan and you thought you know how your story would go, and then all of a sudden there's a curveball and it feels like an ending? People leave you hanging, or loved ones are gone too soon and things are not coming to clarity, and it is perplexing. It can be a powerful thing in the face of that reality to recognize and to believe that, thanks be to God, the story has not reached its end. Or maybe it's happened in your life before where you thought things could not get any worse, or perhaps you find yourself looking at a whole bunch of uncertainty or overwhelm, and you just want to get out of here and go far away. And then slowly you begin to realize that there's power in the hanging on, that there's power in hope, and in the potential for things to turn out better than you maybe could have imagined in the first place. And you remember that the story has not yet come to its end. Has it ever happened to you that in the midst of a struggle or a loss, that God showed you strength and healing and fortitude in new ways beyond what you could imagine? That's the story we live together because of Christ. And that's what the resurrection is, a resurrected life that continues even in the face of death, even in the face of all that we do to mess one another up. The story continues and it does not stop. It goes on because of the resurrection. And so the Easter story reminds us to never give up on hope. and to never give up on people, and to focus us again on life and the restoration of love and of one another. Because God does not leave us hanging on crosses or dead in tombs. Instead, God raises us to new life in Christ. There's a quote that hangs on my wall by poet Henry David Thoreau, and it reads, "The only remedy for love is to love more." It is strategically placed above my big green chair right now that I will collapse into when I'm feeling overwhelmed or tired at the end of the day. It's in a place that I can see at all times, and it reminds me that while I still have breath in my lungs and a beating heart, and if my fingers still move and my eyes still open, I can go on living and loving courageously and foolishly, because the story of my life is joined to Christ, and the story has not come to its end, and neither has your story. It is easy to be discouraged. It is easy to stall out. It is easy to freeze in your perplexing terror. But it is also such radiant resurrection Easter grace to remember that you are raised to new life in Christ. My invitation for you today is to share with the world a word of hope, to never give up on hope, because the end is not here yet. And even when you come to the end of your story, you've only really just continued in the resurrection that we're celebrating today. So when the struggle of pain is real, or when illness comes, remember that whether you live or whether you die, that you have been raised. Don't give up on that story. It's a good one. We'll read it together. We'll read it together here. And through Christ, life does not end. When you've lost a sense of purpose or feel isolated or alone, don't give up hope on love, because you are raised to new life, and thanks be to God, this is not the end. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
Trusting in God's promise of new life, we pray for the renewal of the church, the world, and all of creation. Hallelujah. God, you have and you are the resurrection. Bring joy to your church as we spread the good news that Jesus is risen. Lead us to proclaim the message with persistence and confidence. Lord, in your mercy. Hallelujah. God, you are creator. Open our eyes to the first fruits of new life around us, to budding trees, nourishing rains, warm breezes, and freshly tilled soil. Inspire our gratitude and renew our commitment to stewardship of the earth. Lord, in your mercy. Hallelujah. God, you are reconciliation. You show no partiality among the nations, but instead call all people to the way of peace. Bring an end to conflict and division. Renew leaders and advocates for peace with a commitment to the common good. Lord, in your mercy. Hallelujah. God, you are strength. Awaken hope and perseverance in all who need to hear a word of life this day. Those who are hungry, anxious, oppressed, despairing, or sick. Lord, in your mercy. And hallelujah. God, you are life. We give you thanks for all the newly baptized, who by water and your word are forever joined to Christ's death and resurrection. Embolden all who share this baptized life and renew us in faith and action. Lord, in your mercy. And hallelujah. God, you are comfort. Draw near to all who grieve. Refresh us with the promise that you will destroy death and that with all the saints we will be made alive forever in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. We commend those and all our prayers to you, O God. Come near to us with your saving help for the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share the peace of Christ with one another. God's peace. My mic. God's peace. Thank you.
Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You may be seated. Communion this morning is received by intinction, simply taking a piece of bread and dipping it in the wine, receiving both elements at once. We'll have two stations up front here and a gluten-free grape juice station over here to my left. This is Christ's table. All are welcome. body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you always in God's grace. Amen. Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Permission to podcast the music in this service obtained from one license with license number A703757. For more information about St. Andrew Lutheran Church, please visit our website at www.salc-wausau.org. Thank you for listening, and God's blessing be with you.